You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Once again, it is Monday night, Monday evening, the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Honorable Senior Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Yawm al-Thulatha, the 26th of Muharram, 1422, which is also the 15th of September 2020. Our Zakat Nisab, 9,600 Rand. Meher Fatimi, 24,000 Rand. Minimum Mahar for Hanafis, it is 500 Rand. For Malikis, it is 170 Rand. For Shafi'is and Hanbalis, no minimum Mahar. Our WhatsApp number 084-786-3132 International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Our beloved Ustad's email address is akhussein@gmail.com. That is akhussein@gmail.com. Our beloved Ustad's website is muftiakhussein.net. That is muftiakhussein.net. Our beloved Ustad's Twitter account is @akhussein. That is @akhussein. Let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Lokolo, here in Johannesburg. And let's welcome our beloved engineer in the Durban studios. Not forgetting our beloved listeners of Al Ansar International, listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Company. Respected Honorable Ustad, let's welcome you, inshallah, into the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته بارك الله فيكم عرفات جزاك الله خيرا.
Listen and say, Ustad, when will the month of Safar begin, Ustad?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, this week, Friday evening, inshallah, where we are here in Johannesburg, in Gauteng, the crescent will be 29 hours old and plus few minutes. So therefore, the chances of seeing it are very, very good, inshallah. And that will usher in the month of Safar once the crescent, the new moon is sighted. And all of us should read the simple dua, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, make this month of Safar. Safar with a seen means to undertake a journey. And Safar with a sword refers to the month. So this month of Safar will be ushered in on Friday night. Saturday, the 19th of September will be the first, inshallah, once the new moon and the crescent is sighted, and the meaning Allahu Akbar, and these words Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin are mentioned in Abu Dawood. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, make this month a month of Khair and goodness, wa Rushdin and righteousness for us, our families, and the entire Ummah and Muslimah. One point we need to clarify now immediately. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he will always be the Master Alayhi Salam, the only Rahmatulil Alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation, said, La Safara. There is no bad luck, there is no superstition, there is no suffering in the month of Safar. You find some people, sometime the lady, sometime old people, they say that the month of Safar, too much bad luck and all, mustn't get nikah, no marriage, all this is rejected in Islam. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La Safara, that there is nothing like bad luck and all that, and we should not consider this month as an unlucky month, so always remember that.
I just do apologize, it's 1442, the 26th of Muharram, 1442. Ustad, listener says, my mother passed away in hospital. She did not perform salah for 4 days, Ustad. So the listener wants to know, is there any payment to make, Ustad?
Remember that when a person from the time they became baligh and mature, right till the time of death, Allah Jalla Wala in His infinite grace and mercy, grant your mother Jannatul Firdaus, and that is the dua you should be reading, Surah chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim verse 41, Rabbana ghfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh beloved, Allah Jalla Wala, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. All of you children, grandchildren, read the dua abundantly. Now from the time that she was baligha, mature, right till the time she passed on, so she only missed these 4 days. So according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, the majority of scholars, there's no such thing as payment and that for a person who missed salat. Similarly, that no one else can read that namaz for that person, nor during the lifetime and nor post-death and after death. Yes, only according to the Hanafis, they will say you have to pay 150 rand. You include the witr salat as well. So in that way there, you pay. So 300 rand will be for 2 days and 600 rand will be for 4 days. And you give that money to poor Muslims only. So that is known as the kafara and the payment for the missed salat after person's death, not whilst you're alive. Whilst you're alive, qadha is compulsory. There's consensus on that issue. But remember, payment after and post death is only solely according to the Hanafi jurors, and you work on 150 rand per day, and in that way there you give that money to poor Muslims only.
So Ustad, is it permissible to have the baby's name, Ustad, before birth, Ustad?
Yes, 100%. Just today I received a question, mashallah, somebody's wife is expecting next month, for example, October, November. So they just send the question, they're not sure of the gender of the baby. They say, we like the name Maliha, if she is a girl. Or they love the name Hamza, if it is a boy. So I said, both are excellent names. If you keep Hamza, subhanallah, Sayyidu Shuhada, the greatest martyr for all times, all places and circumstances, was Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chacha, his kaka, pasabur, uncle, paternal uncle, and that is Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. The hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim, Sayyidu Shuhada, and Hamza means to be brave and bold. So he was so brave to take on the enemy. So therefore, wonderful, excellent name. And mashallah, if your wife gives birth to a baby girl, Maliha. So when you have food and the salt is just right, then the food is delicious. A wonderful meal, a sumptuous supper and lunch. So why? Maliha. So then she's beautiful. Everything of hers is just right, just like the salt in the food. So Maliha, beautiful. Her eyes, her hair, her features, everything pretty and the paragon of beauty. So that is what Maliha means. So you, person, father, mother, first time you will become parents next month or 2 months' time, now you should be reading chapter number 37. That is after Surah Yasin. Surah Yasin is 36. And 37 is Surah Safat, verse 100. Simple, easy dua. All of you should be reading. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant us pious offspring and children. A dua of a Nabi. Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salatu salam used to read and recite it. Allah Jalla wa Allah blessed him from Sayyida Hajara radiallahu anha. Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, Ismail, the one who listens to Almighty Allah. And from Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha, Allah Jalla wa Allah blessed Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam with Nabi Ishaq alayhi salam, the Nabi who used to smile. Ishaq means means to smile. So read it, and now if you're very near that 2-3 weeks time, 4 weeks time, you're going to give birth, O sister, O mother, then read chapter 21, verse number 33-0, and this is in the 17th Juz, 17th para, chapter 21, surah 21, verse 30. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. Don't the non-Muslim and disbelievers see? Look at Kudrat ka Karishma. Look at the absolute control, power, sovereignty, authority of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. How the heavens and the earth were stuck together. فَفَتَقْنَاهُمَا. And we, Allah uses the royal pronoun, the plural, we, to stamp His authority. And it is a symbol of respect and reverence. So we separated it easily. So Almighty Allah will make your labor pains easy. You and your fetus and the unborn baby, you are stuck together. So when you read this verse, Surah 21, verse 30, Allah Jalla Wala will make things easy for you. Inshallah, daily give some charity as well.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, is it true that we can go for Umrah, inshallah, in January next year, 2021, Ustad?
I see people sending me these messages, and I found some travel agents also sending to me. We are not a travel agent, and we are not anything to do with the embassy. So these type of queries, you should contact the Saudi embassy, or if they are very busy, then contact your local travel agent and see what they say. So you must remember that the way I read the message, they say it is all subject to the COVID situation. So if things subside, inshallah, we make this dua daily. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. Oh, beloved Allah, that we seek your protection from the dreaded diseases and the evil sicknesses. So the hadith is authentic in Sunan Nasa'i and Abu Dawood. You're reading individually, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyil asqam. And we make the dua, Allahumma rfa' anna al-waba wal-bala. Ya Allah, remove all this pandemic, epidemic, plague, whatever you want to call it, remove it, Ya Allah, throughout the world. Let us go back to normal and not new normal. We want the normal, Ya Allah. So that is only the benevolence, the mercy. Allah sent one virus and the whole world turned topsy-turvy. That is Qudrat-e-Kamila. Allah is showing a sample, example of what I can do. What one little virus, and your professors, scientists, doctors, physicians, nobody, everybody rushing. We got the virus, we got the vaccine. Russia will say, America will say, China will say, this country, Hamanskaral will say. So remember, Allah alone knows whether they're pulling a fast one or the truth. So this is all Allah's Qudrat. So we must beg Allah for afiyah, safety, comfort, good health, whatever a normal human being relishes and cherishes and which is permissible.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, could you kindly mention the important events which occurred after the Hijrah? Ustad.
Oh, listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International, Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the first word, the first verb to be revealed, Iqra, read. Today this Ummah said, we're not going to read. We just kill time and waste time, TV and movies and Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, Allah forbid. When you're not going to read, then always you will be humiliated and disgraced. Remember that. So start reading. What you're going to read? The month of Safar will start this week, Friday night, Saturday. Insha'Allah al-Aziz, once the moon and the crescent is sighted, then is Rabiul Awwal. So you don't wait for Rabiul Awwal. From now, start reading Sirah Mubarakah, Sirah Tayyibah, the honorable history of the most beloved, the most precious to all, Mighty Allah, Rahmatul Alameen, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Come, I take you for a quick journey, you know, cursory glance, what you say. So the Hijrah takes place from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. Now they are settled in Medina Munawwara, Mustafa, Habibuna, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Sahaba. So what's the first thing that's done in the first year of the Hijrah? Muwakhat. What is Muwakhat? It's in Arabic. One Muhajir, one Ansar. One Muhajir, one Ansar. Brotherhood established between them. So you are like brothers. For a temporary period, they used to inherit from one another as well. Because they became brothers for a temporary period. And then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was appointed as the leader for the whole of Medina, for the whole world, but at that time for Medina Munawwara. So the Jews and everybody, the Muslims and everybody accepted that. So that is first year of Hijrah. Second year of Hijrah, 17th Ramadan on a Friday, Ghazwa-e Badr took place, Yawm al-Furqan, the day of distinction, the day of criterion. Against all odds, 313 Sahaba decimated, destroyed Abu Jahl and company and dispatched them to Jahannam. 70 of them straight to Jahannam, 70 of them taken captive. Third year of the Hijrah, just outside Medina Munawwara, in the month of Shawwal, the Battle of Uhud took place, not Uhud. Learn to pronounce the words correctly, Uhud. Jabal Uhudin yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. The mountain of Uhud, we love it and the mountain loves us. Third year after Hijrah, 70 Sahaba martyred. Sayyidu Shuhada, Sayyidina Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu is martyred. So that was the third year. And then in the fourth year, Ghazwatul Raji, Ma'rikatul Raji. Do you know what is Ma'rikatul Raji, O Ummah? Where the Sahaba were captured. And I give you one Sahabi's incident because of due to time constraint. Sayyidina Khubayb bin Adi radiallahu anhu. And if you read in Bukhari Sharif, the entire incident you will cry and how he was taken to Makkah. And remember then they took him out of Makkah to Tan'im. When you want to perform a Umrah, Nafil Umrah, you go to Masjid Aisha outside the Haram. And then you make intention, then you perform Umrah. That area is called Tan'im. They took him there and he made one sunnah for the ummah. Awwala man salla rakatain qabla al-maut qabla al-wafat. He told them, fine, you want to execute me. Yes, you want to crucify me, but give me the chance. I want to read two rakat salat. And he read the two rakat salat. And then he made a dua. Every Muslim learned this dua of Khubayb radiallahu anhu arda against the enemies of Islam, whether it's the Yahud or the Mushrikeen or whoever else. Allahumma ahsihim adada waqtuluhum badada wa la tubqi minhum ahada. Lo and behold, from that Tan'im, he sent salam to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Miraculously, the answer came back. That is Sahaba. That is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the bat ma'rika al-raji took place. Learn all these things of Ummah. In the month of Safar, it took place on the 4th of Safar, there the Ma'rika of the Battle of Raji', so that is what it was known as. 5th year, the Battle of Khandaq took place, the trench, you know, just outside Medina Munawwara. 6th year, Hudaybiyah took place, so remember Hudaybiyah today is just outside Makkah, called Shumaysiyah, where the peace treaty took place. 7th year, in this month of Muharram, Khaybar took place on the northern side of Medina, 150 kilometers away from Medina Munawwara, where the Jews were defeated. And remember, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala played a pivotal role, and he destroyed the big qila and fort. The fort's name was Qamus. He, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu warda, is known as Fatih Khaybar, the person who decimated and destroyed the Jews in Khaybar. In the 8th year, during Ramadan, 21st Ramadan, then that is Fatih Makkah. The conquest of Makkah takes place. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 10,000 Sahaba came. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu renders the adhan from on top of the Kaaba Musharrafa. The 9th year, Alhamdulillah, the Battle of Tabuk. I saw all these places, Alhamdulillah. So you must go and see all these places. Then you will understand what is the love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love for Mustafa, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So Tabuk, Aghiru Ghazwatin Ghazaha, this was in the month of Rajab, and it was midsummer, 50 degrees, 30 50,000 Sahaba assembled. And remember the logistics. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an came to the fore. 1,000 gold coins, 300 camels, all that he donated for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. 10th year was the Hajjatul Wida. 124,000 Sahaba plus minus male, female, adult and children assembled on Maidan Arafat, on the plains of Arafat, Mauna Arafat. And then in the 11th year, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam bid farewell to the Ummah, and then the demise took place. So that is from first year to the 11th year. Learn the Seerah Mubarakah, learn about Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than we know of our parents and our children. Then we will say we have the true ishq and love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Well, it's exactly 8:30. We're going to go, inshallah, for our interval. When we get back, inshallah, we will continue with the Q&A. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
26 minutes to 9 0847863132. Let's welcome the listeners of Al Ansar International, the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Ismail and Company, and of course the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. Ustad, the listener says here that what should we do if someone passes away, Ustad, due to this strike? Should we announce our mayat or not, Ustad? Your advice.
Remember that there is a strike, but when I heard the news, SAFM and so forth, National South African Radio, so there they said that there are 17 organizations that they have called for the strike. So it's not everybody, but anyway, we are Muslims. We always make dua that everybody is first leave this world with Iman and Islam. That's one issue. Always read Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. Second one, from now you should start contacting all the burial people who are in charge in your town, in your city and so forth. So in that way there, if something happens, then we know where the contact numbers are and so forth. And third, they will tell you what protocol they will follow and so forth. More than that, our legal eagles, our attorneys, our advocates and our senior counsel should also intervene. This is a humble request from our side, that no one has the right to infringe upon our rights and tell us that we must now keep the body and so forth in the mortuary for 2 days and 3 days and 48 hours and 28 hours and 30 hours. Obviously, all that is unacceptable. When you say democracy, then everybody has a right and we have our rights. We're not infringing and encroaching on your rights. So no one has the right to infringe on our rights as well. So remember three things. Number one, that contact your burial organizations from now, your committee, somebody know. We don't know. People who are healthy just pass away, accidents take place. Second one is this, that remember that they will tell you what protocol they will use and so forth, that, you know, maybe they won't use the hearse or what have you. And third one is our legal eagles, that our big, you understand, lawyers, attorneys, mashallah, they're playing a crucial role. We're in contact with them almost daily on various issues. So in that way, that Almighty Allah make it easy, and in that way that never will be advocate that people must break the law, but at the same time no one must interfere with us regarding our Islamic rights and so forth. So that is compulsory for us to bury as soon as possible without a delay, and that is what we are command, what we are telling you and requesting you to do. And obviously we all should be making dua that we die respectfully and we pass away with Iman and Islam.
So, Ustad, is it permissible for the Arab countries to make peace with Israel, Ustad? What about Masjid al-Aqsa, Ustad?
This is a very, very lengthy topic. The summary of it is this, is totally haram for any Muslim country, for any Arab country, to enter into a peace treaty with the apartheid regime of Israel. It still applies its Nazi tactics. Let me handle this question from four or five different aspects. Number one, if any country, we know what's happening, right? That first in 1979 was Egypt, 94 was, you understand, Jordan, and 2020 just now, 1 month ago, a few weeks ago was UAE, and now they say it's Bahrain. So everybody knows that, right? So remember what the Quran says. First point of reference, Almighty Allah states in Surah Hud, chapter number 11 and verse number 113, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا, do not even bend and be inclined, إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, to those people who are the zalims, the oppressors. Any person in his right mind will know that the apartheid regime of Israel, we know what is apartheid, we went through it. The apartheid day is worse than the apartheid in South Africa. So if you just go towards them and bend towards them, فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, you'll end up straight in the Jahannam. Jahannam is your place. وَمَا لَكُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِّن أَوْلِيَاءَ, and then there's no one to help you and protect you. ثُمَّ لَا, besides Almighty Allah, ثُمَّ لَا تُنْصَرُونَ, and you will not be granted assistance and help. So chapter number 11 and verse 113. So that is the first point. Second point is this, what peace treaty is this? What are the Jews doing? What are the apartheid regime doing? They're not making any compromises. They are not removing their illegal settlements. They are not removing anything of theirs. Rather, they're demolishing more and more Muslim homes and Palestinian homes. So how can we enter into a peace treaty with them? So too, if you understand geopolitics, if you look at the polls, then you must remember Trump knows he's going to lose the election in November. So what he does, he wants to pull something out from the hat. So see what a great peacemaker I am, that I pulled off the peace and the deal of the century. I made peace between the Arabs and the Israelis. So you must remember, for him, Trump is using a Trump card for his own agenda. I mean, we can't be so naive and so simple, you know. You look at Netanyahu and see what's happening to him. He's no more the prime minister as far as the Jews are concerned in Israel. He's the crime minister. And every day almost thousands of people are now protesting against him and so forth. So now what he does, he's gone there to sign the peace treaty and so forth. And Friday, Israel is gone back to a lockdown. Such a hard lockdown for 3 weeks. Nothing is going to happen. Schools closed, everything closed. Shut down completely almost. So that is the apartheid regime. Why? So people must not come and protest against the crime minister, prime minister. He knows the people are shouting, screaming in Hebrew, resign, resign, resign. If you read the Haaretz newspaper, their newspaper, it's written there, majority of the Israelis have lost confidence and faith in Netanyahu. So both of them, Netanyahu and Trump, are facing defeat. So now they catch the Arabs and tell them, do this, do this. What price are you going to pay, O Arab leaders? What price are you going to pay, O Muslim leaders? Remember already this talk, and I told you this 10 years ago, you must remember they want to partition Masjid al-Aqsa. One, they will say, one side Muslim and one side Jews. Because this Ummah, 1 billion good for nothing Ummah, majority of us, we don't even know what happened in 1994. You go and ask the Ummah today, they don't even know. I'm so surprised. Even ulama majority are unaware. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. In 89 when I went, first time. 92 I went. I went to Khalilur Rahman Hebron. And there you will find a masjid, Masjid Ibrahim Khalili. The whole masjid belongs to us. But in 1994, 15th Ramadan, Saturday, I still remember I stood up in the Newcastle Town Masjid and I made an announcement there. So remember that for us it was 15th Ramadan, day it was 16th Ramadan in Palestine, Makkah, Medina, 1994. Baruch Goldstein, the terrorist, the murderer, entered Masjid Ibrahim Khalilur Rahman whilst they were performing Fajr Salat, and he mowed down and shot our Muslim brothers. 29 of them became shaheed there in the masjid. And remember, the others who were injured, they succumbed to the injury. 70 approximately of them were shuhada. What did the apartheid regime of Israel, the Nazi tactics, do? And what did the world do? They allowed the apartheid regime to do these things here. That the big shrine was built by the Jews and the terrorists there for Baruch Goldstein. Obviously, he had two passports. Somebody says he had Israeli American. Some people say it was American, it was a South African and Israeli. Be that as it may, that doesn't concern us. What's concerning us? After this incident, then they partitioned that masjid. You murder our people in our masjid, then you steal of half our masjid, and then you tell us that you want peace. Where are the Arab leaders when 94 this incident took place? Where are the Muslim rulers took place? Where are the 1 billion good for nothing Muslims, I'm asking you? So you must remember, majority, they don't even know of the incident. Are we so hopeless and useless and impotent? Think about it. 94 this incident took place, and I should speak of it. I say a time will come that in Aqsa al-Mubarak, they will try and pull the same stunt. This is known as the Clinton plan. Clinton wanted to do it at that time. I saw that shaitan also, Clinton in America when I was there. So you must remember that. So you must remember that this is what happens. Now they are, and in this peace treaty, they're making with Bahrain and the Arabs, UAE, you know, that they're leaving Aqsa open for everybody to worship. So what does that mean? Remember that are the Jews. Layyam bi al-sinatihim. That Almighty Allah teaches us, they speak with a forked tongue. And this is the forked tongue. They will put clauses there. And our Muslims are so naive, they don't even understand what is there. Second one is this. You think they are united, the Jews? Nay, Allah's kalam says, tahsabuhum jami'a. They totally disunited. Wa qulubuhum shatta. You think they're united, but their hearts are totally fragmented. Dhalika bi annahum qawmun la yu'minun. Oh, la yaqilun. They are a people who got no aql and intelligence. You think they're intelligent? Allah says they're not intelligent. How can you be intelligent when you want to steal our masjid and you stole already our masjid in Hebron? So Surah 59 and verse number 14, Almighty Allah is telling us, Allah is punishing the Jews. Now their COVID rate, COVID-19 rate is gone out of proportion. Per capita is one of the highest in the world, if you know what's happening in the world. Almighty Allah says, Jews, I'm going to punish you right till the day of Qiyamah. People will punish you and I will punish you. Wa itha adha than a rabbuk. You stole Palestine and now you want to steal Masjid al-Aqsa. Any country who makes peace with Israel, remember you have betrayed Islam and you are treacherous to the Palestinians, and tomorrow you will stand maybe with the Jews on the day of Qiyamah. That is Allah's system. Wa itha adhana rabbuk, when Almighty Allah announced, Allah says, la yab'athanna alayhim ila yawm al-qiyamah. If you know even the basics and the rudiments of the Arabic language, He, Allah, will appoint surely against the Jews, ila yawmil qiyamah, till the day of justice, may yasumuhum su'al adab, who will punish them till the day of Qiyamah. Whether it's Hitler, we don't condone it. Whether it is Hamas, whether it is the Muslims, whether it is the Mujahideen, they will be punished right through. And now the punishment, nobody can save you. You said you got the greatest scientists. You said you got the greatest doctors. So why you don't solve the problem of COVID-19? Allah ki lati be awaze. The stick of Allah when it hits. All this is Qiyamah coming in. You, my non-Muslim brothers, sisters, you don't understand the term I use. That is Armageddon coming in. I've been to all these places and I saw that how Allah's plan is that everything will happen to you, the Arab rulers. Remember the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam must come to fruition and must be fulfilled. And the hadith is authentic, mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Wailul lil Arab. Wailul lil Arab. Woe and destruction to the Arabs. So you can see the open destruction. How can you make a peace treaty? In apartheid, we were classified as non-whites. People fought and they gave their lives so that they could get freedom. How come for you the Jewish blood has become more important than the Muslim blood of our children and Mujahideen of Palestine. Inna lillahi wa inna raji'un. Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin wa man walahum. Allahumma tahhir al masjid al aqsa min al yahudi al ghasibin al muhtallin. Allahumma ihfaz bilad al haramain al sharifain min kulli su'in wa makruh. Oh ummah, make special dua daily. Allah, protect the haramain sharifain from the enemies. And masjid al aqsa from the enemies as well, within and with outside as well.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Beautiful, beautiful answer there by our beloved, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad. I love the way he says, Armageddon is coming, Armageddon. Ustad, I want to know, is this true? Where they say some masjids, the Qurans have been removed. Ustad, anonymous.
100% is truth. People contact us and so forth. It is an indictment upon the trustees and the imams and the officials who took this decision. They want to become more Catholic than the Pope. You must remember that. Mm. That which government told you, take out the Quran Sharif from the masjid. Today the hotels, today the restaurants, all are open. And they have their facilities, their bathrooms. Room, restroom, everything are open. But you go to so many of our masajid, you will find still that the masjid, either the masjid is locked, Cape Town, 19 masjids are locked, completely sealed. And you see some masjids that the toilet facilities, bathroom facilities, wuzu facilities closed. You can't enter. I experienced myself. And you must remember that. What about the musafir? And you go inside the masjid, no Quran Sharif there. So what are you doing? Remember, trustees, honorable trustees, remember, respected ulama, that Quran Sharif, my father, your father gave for the masjid as waqf. The people, ummah, gave money to build the masjid. They gave money to build the facilities, whether the wuzu facilities or toilet or bathroom or whatever. So who gave you the right to seal it? That is khiyanat in amanat. That is misappropriation in public funds. And you are destroying the amanat of the masjid. And you're a trustee. How can it be justified? This is waqaf. It belongs to Allah. So you know what Allah says? I'll read the verse for you now. So when you are removing that Quran Sharif is waqaf, you take it away and put it somewhere, nobody can find it. Almighty Allah in Surah 2, verse 114 teaches us, وَمَنَ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Who can be the bigger transgressor, the bigger zalim than he that prevents people from the masajid of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, أَيُّذْكَرَ فِيهَ اسْمُهُ, that the name of Allah must be taken. You don't want people to read Quran. Alhamdulillah, yea, in lands, we made so much effort with Allah's help, not we just made a little bit effort. Allah's mercy, our masjid where I go to, alhamdulillah, no problems at all. Everything, Quran Sharif is there, people making etikaf, people doing everything going on. So how come we can't do that, I'm asking you? Wasa'a fi kharabiha, and you're making effort to destroy the masjid, Allah's houses. What do you think will happen to you, O trustee, O imam? Don't say that the trustee said so. Aap to alim ho. Aapko to batana chahiye in logo ko. So you alim, you Allah gave you knowledge. You should teach them. This is Allah's house. It's not your father's shop, this. So ulaika ma kana lahum ay yadkhuluha illa khaifin. So remember that no one of them will enter but with fear. No. I'll get sick. I must do this. Allah says the wa'id and warning, Surah 2, verse 114, lahum fid dunya khidyu, for them is disgrace and humiliation. And you can see it today, the humiliation, disgrace. Nobody can give you honor. Once you fiddle with Allah's masjid, you close the masjid, Allah will destroy you and humiliate you. Walahum fil akhirati adhabun azim. And the year after is worse. Terrible punishment. I beg you, I appeal to you, O trustees, O imams, that bring back the Quran Sharif to the masajid. Open all the bathrooms and all the wuzu facilities. All that is waqaf, you got absolutely no right. You are transgressing on the law. laws of Allah. And once you do that, you're inviting the wrath and the anger of Almighty Allah. So the person who's a trustee must be concerned how more people can come to the masjid, not chase people away from the masjid. Allah Jalla wa'ala, give us understanding.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. 084-786-3132. I see somebody says Mufti Sahib is firing from all cylinders this evening. Yeah, he is indeed. Who's that? Nani says, Nana is 80 years old and he wants to dye his beard with Mendy. I told Nana he can't because his white hairs will go red. He will look so funny. Now Nana is upset, Ustad. Mufti Sahib, am I wrong? I don't like red beard men. Everybody will look at him. No, Nana can't dye his hair. What color should he dye, Ustad?
MashaAllah, tell Nana he must practice on the sunnah. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafai rashideen. Follow my way, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way, and the way of the rightly guided khulafa. And that hadith is authentic in Abu Dawood ibn Majah. One day, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Uthman. You know which Uthman? Abdullah bin Uthman. Abdullah radiallahu anhu is the name of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And his father's name is Uthman, but he was known as Abu Quhafa. And the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Ya Abu Quhafa, your hair are gone whitish, greyish, ghayru shape. Change it and that, remove it. Remove it. Don't mean now shave the beard, Allah forbid. It means they change the color. Watch tanibus sawat, but abstain from black. So black is not permissible. So Nani, you encourage Nani. That he must practice on that, because that is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Abu Bakr's father Abu Quhafa. He was Muslim, Sahabi radiallahu anhu. So not black. So you don't like Mendi color? Fine. So what you do, you go Nani, tell your son, grandson, they must go there to the chemist, pharmacist, and bring brown the color, dye. You see? And then you tell Nana, sit still here, and you put the dye for him. Then Nana will be looking smart then. So you must remember that. He won't be old and cold. He will be handsome, Anana, inshallah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, I want to tell you something, Mufti Sahib, and please tell all the men who are listening right now that this is happening in my home. I don't advise anyone to have two wives. It is not an easy thing. My son did this, Ustad, and today he is in a mental hospital. Anonymous, Ustad.
Yes, the boat wife made him go crazy. So, I mean, now, when we tell y'all that, you see, anything you want, you must remember that what happened. You must look at Quran Sharif. Masna wa thulatha wa ruba. You got 2, 3, 4 wives, then Surah 4, verse number 3. فَيَنَخِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. When you fear you can't do justice, then one wife only. But now the person says that I got so much money, let me try, my friend did it, this one did it. Now both wives competition, both wives this way, that way. Now see, we must ask Allah's protection. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, open Sunan Nasai. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-junoon. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from insanity and madness, that we go crazy. Now both his wives, I don't know what they did, and that, and now he's there in that insane hospital. Allah protect us. So my brothers, that I'm not saying nobody can change the Sharia. Sharia is for all times, all places. But you must look at the conditions stipulated as well, and look at the practicality. Let us be honest and pragmatic about this. You put 100 men, you put 1,000 Muslim men, and 90%, 80% are not doing justice to their wives. So where will you fit in on the day of Qiyamah? Think about that. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua. Allahumma la tu'akhidni fi ma la amliku bal tamlik. Ya Allah, do not take me for to task, to set the precedent for humanity and posterity for that which is beyond my control. You possess it, I don't possess it. I have so many of these honorable wives, but my love, my inner love is more for Siddiqa Sayyidina Aisha. Therefore Allah says, وَلَن تَسْتَطِيهُ وَأَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ. You will never able to do justice in all sense of the word, meaning that emotions, like your children, you have a pet child, a favorite child, but outwardly you must show justice. So similarly with your wives, that is what you need to do. And this is a great concern nowadays. Most of our Muslim men and husbands, they don't do it. Let us be honest about these type of things. So when you speak of that, remember Islam is deen. Maliki yawmi deen, the day of justice. Inna deena indallahi al-Islam. The only religion from Nabi Adam alayhi salam's time till Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's time till today, where Allah is only one religion, and that is Islam. Everything else is not deen. Everything else is something else. Therefore, deen in Quran is always used singular. Never Allah used the word adyan. So always understand that. No Nabi came and was a Jew and Christian. That's all fairy tales our people speak. Every Nabi and messenger came was a Muslim. So therefore, we must understand that what Islam is teaching us.
The listener says this, so I hear you, dear Mufti Saab. So tell me, can a non-Muslim go to heaven? No, but Ustad.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala has taught us in the noble Quran, my brother Norbert, that you need a passport to enter Jannah and Paradise. So how you want to go to America, Europe, you will need a visa, you will need passport. So there is a passport, and that passport is Islam, my brother. I ask you, Norbert, I don't know you, right? I don't know if you married, you have children and so forth. But I pose this question to you, Norbert. That let's say a person, I'm not saying you, I'm saying a person, is married and his wife commits adultery, he keeps on committing adultery. You think that marriage will work? It won't work. It's a recipe for disaster. So when this person ascribes, associates something to Almighty Allah, he says Jesus is the Son of God. He says that Mary is the daughter of God, or the angels are the daughters of God. Or he says God, Almighty Allah, we say Supreme Being, has partners and associates. So remember that that is the worst crime a person can commit, that we ascribe, anybody ascribes somebody something to Almighty Allah. So people like that, Surah chapter 4 verse 48, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ay yushraka bihi. Allah will never forgive those people who ascribe and associated somebody something to Almighty Allah. Chapter 33 verses 64-65. You see the Quran, I read for you the Quran daily, you listen to me, brother Norbert, on the airwaves. So it's the only divine scripture in its original form, that no addition, no omission. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, millions of people have memorized and committed it to memory, male, female, adult and children across the world. So we can't find one Bible, we can't find one Torah, gospel, to anything. And you have so many different versions that even the virgins are confused. So is it not right that now you, Norbert, as a person who does not study Islam with a jaundiced eye, you embrace Islam? Because chapter 33 verses 64-65 tells us, Inna Allah la'ana al-kafirin, that Allah will curse the people who are non-Muslims and they die in that state. For them is everlasting doom and hellfire. Wa'adda lahum sa'iran khalidina fiya abada. So no, they will not enter paradise and Jannah, because that is the law of Almighty Allah. I conclude, my brother Norbert, you are driving a Mercedes, a BMW, a Toyota. They told you that this is a diesel car. You go and put petrol. Now who do you blame? So when you bought the car, petrol, you go put diesel, or vice versa. So similarly, Allah created us and He taught us what to do. But we think we know better, and now we have to pay the price. And it's a terrible price to pay, my brother Norbert. Everlasting doom and gloom. But we pray for you and all the brothers and sisters who are interested in Islam, sincerely.
9 o'clock, it's a beautiful Monday night. Second, part two will be inshallah after the interval. Don't go away. Stay tuned.